The following is a message from HeritageFoodsUSA.com. The difference between wild Alaskan salmon and farmed Atlantic salmon is just as great as the differences between commodity pork and heritage breed pork. Huge! HeritageFoodsUSA.com is lining up a major social buy of sustainably harvested salmon in July and offering it at a phenomenal price to consumers. Check out HeritageFoodsUSA.com for more details on how to get in on this opportunity. Experience salmon the way it should be.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show. Spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. Too bad for radio and too good looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one. Two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza. Your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Well, all right, we're back in Bushwick here at Roberto's on the Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live. It's the Mike and Judy Show. I'm Mike Edison, here with my co-hostess with the mostest, Judy McGuire, a woman who is truly too hot for television.
It's rough. It's rough being this hot.
Judy, you just came out of the dentist chair. You've had some serious surgery. You're on Lord knows how many kinds of drugs today.
I have been going through dental hell for 3 years now, and you can read all about it on my blog. But yeah, I had a screw put into my face this week, which was better than the 3 screws and bone graft I had last time. So, I'm such a trooper. I'm here today, even though I'm sort of swollen on the inside.
You are a credit to your profession. And speaking, thank you. And speaking of painful dental surgery, our guest today, we're going to talk about her childhood obsession with Nazis. How's that for a segue? another woman who is way too hot for television. Which is why she's here doing internet radio. Why she's here doing internet radio with us. It's our good friend Rachel Shugart. She is the author of the best-selling Everything's Going to Be Great, an underfunded and overexposed European grand tour, as well as Have You No Shame and Other Regrettable Stories, both fantastic books. She is a contributor to such high-minded venues as Sweeney, Slate, Gawker, and The Daily Beast. She's been featured on National Public Radio too many times to count. Her plays include Bloody Johnny Applefucker.
It's like a hybrid.
Everything's Coming Up, Moses. The Sporting Life and The Nosemaker's Apprentice. She's currently developing a TV series with Flower Films and Weed Road Pictures, as well as developing a series of young adult books. She's the busiest person I know. She has a bipolar cat named Angelica Houston, who we'll talk about as well. Welcome, Rachel. We're glad to see you again.
Yay! Thank you. I'm glad I'm here.
Thanks for coming, Rachel. I love your books.
Oh, thanks, Judy.
Rachel. It's going to be a real love fest here on the Mike and Judy Show.
Shit-eating exchange.
You're so awesome.
Oh my God, no, you're not awesome.
You're awesome.
Okay.
Mike feels left out.
Here we are.
Overpowered by estrogen.
It's okay. I'm just looking forward to the part where we get to talk about like uncircumcised men and to really feel that.
Such as Russell Crowe.
Ooh.
First-hand knowledge.
Have first-hand...
He talked about it on Twitter.
Oh,
okay.
He
didn't send you a picture, did he?
If only. He'd be forced to resign.
Well, the shelf life.
Humanity.
The shelf life of A. Wiener is expiring very quickly, but it's a good leap.
A. Wiener. Right, but we can guess that A. Wiener is circumcised.
We've
seen the proof. A Jewish man of that generation. It's a pretty safe bet. I mean, honestly, Jewish men of my generation, of any generation, basically we live in fear of the uncircumcised hillbilly pecker. Only second to the European uncircumcised hillbilly pecker, which is even scarier to us.
I was pretty freaked out when I saw the first one. The first one I ever saw was in Europe. And it looked totally different to the way that I expected it to. I thought it would be sort of like a flap of skin that just would swing like a banner.
Like an elephant trunk.
Yeah, exactly. Or like one of those things that are like on the sleeves of like Ice Dancers costumes.
Oh, yes.
You know, like those like fabric flames or whatever.
Like
but it was more like, it wasn't like that at all. It was.
And once they get hard, it's just a little extra something to
love. Oh, my God. Jack, you have a sound effect of like a Jewish boy wilting. You know, I don't have a lot of experience with penises.
It's a rooster.
You know, know,
because it's a cop.
It's the best I got. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Jack.
Yeah, your book, your second book, gets pretty racy in parts.
Well, kind of. I think that there are only a very few actually completed sex acts in my book. It's.
I believe you do have sex with a suspected Nazi in that book, though, don't you?
Well, he was not so much a suspected Nazi as his father, who I highly suspected as. He was too young to be a Nazi, you know. He was like a lot older than me, but like he wasn't quite that old.
Yeah, that would be kind of sad.
Yeah. But I was pretty... He told me how his father was, like, a policeman. Uh-huh. And then he also said how his father was, like, in his 80s, because he was, like, the youngest of, like, several children. And so then I started to, like, just sort of add things up. And I'm like, well, so was your father the kind of people... Like, the kind of policeman who, like, gave people speeding tickets? Or the kind of policeman who, like, you know, went up in attics and located undesirables? And then I wondered, like, how much did they share duties? Like, if you know, at that period.
And I think a lot of people...
Like, were you the same cop that got a kitten out of a tree as a Jew out of an attic?
Well, Rachel, your first book is about growing up Jewish in Nebraska.
Yes.
And this is where your Nazi fascination began.
Yeah, although I don't think it had that much to do with Nebraska.
No?
It was just all the books that they had you read.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I was afraid, when I was growing up, I was afraid of the Manson family, vampires, and the devil.
Yeah.
I thought, like, I would be, like, Exorcist or something, and the devil would come get me, or the Manson family would creep in my window in Rochester, New York.
Yeah, it's similar. I think it comes from a similar place. But when you're a Jewish kid, like, it's so much more focused, because no one will tell you that, like, I mean, they were sort of constantly hammering their heads, like, well, if you had been a child, then they would have come and killed you. Like, and these are, like, authority figures. That no one is there, like, reassuring you that, like... You know, Nazis were not something to fear, that they did not, in fact, exist.
They aren't going to come to Omaha and
hunt
a little 10-year-old.
It's very easy
down.
For your imagination. You know, they're sort of constantly giving these books because there's this terror that we wouldn't take it seriously enough or something, or that, you know, we would forget that it had happened.
Right. Meanwhile, you're losing sleep.
Right. Exactly.
So how do your parents react when you write this sort of stuff? I mean, it's pretty wide-ranging.
Oh, I don't care.
You know, it's a nice... That's wonderful. That's a hodgepodge of parents' nightmares. My daughter's obsessed with Nazis, and now she's having sex with uncircumcised men.
They've been... I guess...
Did your mom read it? Did your parents read
it? Oh, yeah, they read them. They read them. My mom, I think, mostly just sort of skims for the parts that she's in and then decides how they affect her. And then when she feels safe, then she, like, reads the whole thing through. My dad is a lot more able to sort of compartmentalize. My dad, I have to say, is pretty awesome. I've always been glad that I had such a, like, weirdo for a father who doesn't really identify with that, like, have my daughter home by 10 kind of dad. Like, he just totally wasn't that dad. Like, he was so oblivious to any of this sort of thing. And because of that, I think it's really actually not so difficult for him to read about it, because it does not compute with him.
Right, it's not his daughter's vagina on the page.
Oh. I don't think he has really ever given my vagina any thought, which I really believe is as it should be.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah, you know, I get so creeped out when you read about those, like, excuse me, goyish fathers.
Hey,
who are parading their daughters around, having them, like, pledge their virginity to their safekeeping.
So creepy.
It's so creepy. Your dad should not have anything to do with any of that.
Well, your maidenhead.
Once upon a time,
exactly.
Judy McGuire.
Your maidenhood belongs to me until I choose a man for you to pass it on to.
Once upon a time, Judy, you were a nice Catholic girl.
I was never a nice Catholic girl. I had to go to Catholic school.
To have the mice kicked out of you. And then you wrote a book called How Not to Date, Ditto, which something you didn't really want to put in your father's paws.
Well, I told my dad, I've been writing sort of a racy-ish column for the Seattle Weekly for like 11 years, and my dad was going to Seattle, and he said, oh, you know, I want to read your column. And I said, do you really want to read about my sex life, Dad? And my dad, being like a good uptight Irish guy, was like, no. And I said, then don't. I will give you stuff of mine to read that is okay to read, but I don't want you to accidentally stumble across the story of the guy crapping himself in my bed.
Ew.
He doesn't need to know that.
You know, I wrote a book that's got more drugs than sex in it, I suppose, as a fair amount.
A real parent pleaser.
Sex. Oh, absolutely. And my mother just said, will this upset me, Michael? And I said, yes. What's it about? Well, it's about me doing questionable things with questionable people in questionable places. And her first question, of course, is, well, who's going to read about you? She stayed away from it. Until she found a copy in my brother's house.
It was like finding porn under his bed.
My brother was a great... Did she nail it to his door? My brother was a great supporter. He bought a dozen copies and gave them to his friend and say, see, this is why I'm so fucked up. And apparently she turned to, like, the very page where It was my 30th birthday, and I was writing Feliz Cumpleaños on a giant mirror and cocaine. And apparently she was apoplectic, and they had to call an ambulance. Later, my brother says, but look, he put you in the thank yous. And the thank yous were, it took me a long time to figure out how to thank my parents, how to be a mensch
right.
about this. And it said, you know, I want to thank my mom, who I know loves me enough to root for me no matter what, but also knows me well enough to stay the hell away from this book. And my brother says, look how nice he was, how gracious he was. And of course, the next line is, I'm thanking my dad. And her only comment was, he thanked his father, I can't believe it.
Nice.
Thanks, Mom.
I feel like this is such a particular question of, you know, sort of, I feel like no one ever used to ask authors like what their parents thought, but this, you know, this sort of generation is like, we're so,
everything's so accessible too.
Yeah, but it's also like you were supposed to still be so intertwined with our families. I mean, I feel like I'm a separate entity from my parents at this point.
Yeah, and
like,
I doubt anyone asked Erica Jong what...
Yeah, what, like, her father thought. You know, what did he think about the zipless fuck?
Hey, don't we have some Mad Libs
yes,
today,
Mike? Yes, today is Mad Libs Day. You know, Leonard Stern, the creator of Mad Libs, just died this week. And I was really happy to find out about Mr. Stern. He actually developed Mad Libs while writing a Honeymooners episode.
I bet he was circumcised.
Okay, Leonard Stern, yeah. Absolutely. As all writers for the Phil Silver Show were, which he was also.
If they weren't, then they had to be as soon as their contracts were signed.
And he said, I guess this is it. I need an adjective. And his partner said, circumcised. And thus, Mad Libs were born. But I love Mad Libs. You know, I went through, I think, three different levels of playing Mad Libs when I was a kid. The first was straight on, you know, our kids, and let's play it, and give me a color, blue, and give me an adjective. Clumsy, and then it got to be like the naughty, when we started, like,
right.
You know, it was like adolescent, yeah, penis, and well, to be a body part, it was never going to be leg, body part was always butt, and then the third wave was when we were stoned, which when like spleen replaced
body,
that's
when it gets really conceptual,
exactly. Give me a body part, spleen, because that's funny to say when you're stoned. All right, so I thought we'd play a little Mad Libs and we'll get the results.
Okay.
At the end of it, we're done. So you guys just chime in. Give me an adjective.
Swarthy.
Swarthy. That's a good one. Adjective.
Cool.
Cool.
I swear that was in my head because Africa from Toto is playing in the background.
it's a party here, like Roberta. How about a celebrity?
Margaret Thatcher.
Margaret Thatcher. You are fucking weird. How about another celebrity?
She popped in my head.
John Travolta.
There we go. Circumcised or uncircumcised? Give me an animal.
Ocelot.
Ocelot. Okay, a verb? Poop. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's finish filling out these Mad Libs.
It could be an adjective and noun.
We'll finish these up during the break. Judy, why don't you tell us who our sponsor is today and bring us into the music?
Today's episode is brought to us by Punk Rope. Punkrope.com. Come be tortured with me at Beastinetics in McCarran Park at 8 a.m. Tuesdays and Thursdays. Punkrope.com. And here's the Dicks.
Following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Tune in to The Speakeasy every Wednesday at 3 p.m., where host Damon Bolte will discuss cocktails, spirits, wine, beer, tea, coffee, and all things in the liquid universe, with guests ranging from bartenders and brewers, alchemists and ambassadors, roasters and regulars, and every expert and enthusiast in between. Learn from some of the world's leading experts in mixology, bar history, distillation, and brewing about how we enjoy imbibing today. Again, that's every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
And we're back with Mike Edison and the beautiful and talented Rachel Schuchert.
Oh.
I am the luckiest man in the world today.
That's what I like.
Compliments are good. So earlier today we were talking about sexting, and Mike and I are kind of old school in that if we want to say something dirty, we pretty much do it to our be-liked space.
Yeah.
But Rachel, I think you were doing a little sexting with your husband you were telling us about.
Yeah, well, I feel like I straddled the sexting generation a little bit, where I'm not young enough to be like, oh, yeah, well, you send a picture of your vagina to your 13-year-old boyfriend. That's a given.
Poor so parents today.
I can't even imagine. It was the last thing I wanted anyone to see. I didn't have sex outside of a completely darkened room until I was, 30.
But as it should be.
Yeah, I know, because I'm a lady.
Exactly.
But my husband and I occasionally send each other photos, and I have to say, all of my sex are, I try to keep as unsexy as possible. Like, the rule is that I will not send him anything that I think might actually
turn somebody
give
on
him
it
an erection.
It can be used later to tank your mayoral
career. Right, exactly. So I did, one time I did send him a picture of my asshole. But I don't, to be clear, I don't think that first of all, he didn't know what it was. And you can, partly that's maybe a comment on our sex life, but it was also probably a comment on the bad flash on my phone where I literally just stuck it down my underpants and sort of spread and then it's anyway, and it just, I've seen it, it just sort of looks like an abstract.
Yeah, I'm seeing one of those asterisks in Breakfast of Champions.
Yeah, it does. It's not even close to that clear. It's just
or maybe something taken by the weird, something sort of from the Hubble Space Telescope.
It
perhaps
looks, what it actually looked like? It kind of looked like when when you would used to take the film in to get developed,
right?
And there'd be some pictures that came back that you didn't take right, and it would just be sort of like gray with sort of a line through it.
How about Polaroids? Don't you guys miss Polaroids?
I mean, to me,
that was the ultimate instant gratification art medium.
Yeah.
I know they are bringing it back, but my first thoughts, of course, when you heard they were going to stop making Polaroid was the sleaze factor, of course.
Yeah.
I used to work at the porn magazines, and we would just get these Polaroids in. And Polaroids.
Polaroids make everybody look like they're about to have sex for money.
Absolutely. Everybody looks like they're having a great
Everyone
time.
Everyone looks like an Eastern European prostitute.
And they also have sort of an edge of crime scene to them, too.
Yeah.
They seem illicit. That's the wonderful
thing.
Naughty.
Have you ever been to
holding one in your hand? I mean, they're just greasy and wonderful.
Have you ever been to one of those studios where they have model castings? Because model, that's one of the few places where they still take Polaroids is when models come in for casting, because they want to see how they'll look on film immediately. And I was at Milk Studios once. I was meeting a friend of mine who's a commercial casting director for lunch, and I was waiting in the waiting room, and there's just this wall covered in Polaroids of 16-year-old girls sort of staring vacantly. And I could think of was this is they've all been murdered. I'm staring at photos of the victims of a serial killer.
Right.
Well, what do you guys think about all this texting and messaging people? Are these guys ever going to learn? What's it coming from?
But I think it's really unfair to get, sort of held to task like you had an affair when you didn't even get to have sex with anybody.
You wrote a hilarious story that was on the Faster Times, was it?
Oh.
picked up and all over the internet.
Picked up all over, where you said you would laugh if you caught your husband sending
I would laugh
pics
at him. I would think it was hilarious.
You're not even man enough to cheat.
I feel like I would pet him on the head and I'd be like, oh, looking for your youth. Needing all this reassurance from people that you're still attractive.
Yeah, that's quite a ball sack.
Rachel Schuchert, understanding men since 1979.
80.
Ouch.
But I also felt like I would sort of... Yeah, it was just sort of... I feel like that's what guys that don't cheat on their wives do. They, watch porn on their computers, or they, flirt with girls online. And I would take it as, evidence that he was not, in fact, a fucking other lady.
Yeah, I don't even know if anybody remembers who Anthony Weiner is at this point. But and even in my worst, drunkenest, wildest, I'm single days, would I ever text anybody the things that he was putting over the line? It's just filthy. My experience is, that's not how you get laid. Now, of course, I'm not a United States Congressperson, but that is not how you do it.
I did like how it was sort of mixed up with politics, though, all of this. this. Like, did you like, did you read his actual Facebook messages?
You're my liberal hero. I want to suck your cock. That's
yeah. Exactly. She like there's like the end of this like mage. He's like, oh, and now I have explosion. I'm like making him talk like Borat. I'm so hard. Yeah, I'm so wet. And then she's like, and he's like, okay, I hit you later. Like really abruptly, like something happened.
Like, oops,
and then she writes, okay, you go save my country from those cock sucking Republicans.
Now, I'll tell you what also still shaves me is the New York Post and the Daily News. The New York Post had used the word schlong in like 60-point
anti-Semites.
Type. I think so. I think
they're
so.
Anti everyone.
They would not have called an Italian politician's penis a schlong. They would have called it a cannoli.
That's right.
Manicotti.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Or a zucchini.
That's right. The Daily News using the word putz on the front cover. You know.
Well, they're allowed because they're owned by a Jew.
So how come the New York Times didn't take the bait and put the word Schwanz in giant letters on the
cover? Because they're German Jews. They don't want anyone to know.
I'm moving to fucking Nebraska the day that happens. I'm telling you. I'm out of here. You know, you can't have my problem with the New York Post, though, is you can't have it both ways. You have Andrea Pizer and the front part of the paper screaming that the sky is falling every time, you know, somebody shows up in their underwear on MTV.
She's hilarious.
Right? Yeah. But in the back of the same.
She's like Ed Anger.
She's the woman who is always wrong. And somehow in the back of the paper, you have a hooker telling you how to buy a vibrator and how to get your roommates into threesomes and when it's okay to fart in bed. And this is the same paper. It's a very dizzying worldview for me.
Yeah.
I'm very confused
it
by all this.
It's an interesting belt and
chong. She was right a few weeks ago, though.
No, not
yeah,
possible.
She was. I'm serious. She came out in favor of the woman, not in favor of the woman who was raped, but she came out against the cops who raped the drunk.
Yeah, that's true. She was
that
right
was
about
shocking.
Oh, she's coming out against rape?
I know. Well, I thought she'd be on the side of the cops.
I think we're setting
the
bar
Jezebel.
Pretty low here.
Right, drunk Jezebel. What do you expect going out, being a woman?
You whore. She's fine, young, nice police gentleman.
New York's finest.
Earlier, you were getting a little nostalgic about some of your favorite sex scandals.
Oh, yeah.
They used to
have sex in them.
Yeah, like Larry Craig and his wise stance. He wasn't sending wiener pictures.
No, he was just...
No, he's just cruising the airport bathrooms.
He's getting blowies.
I have to say, I am just, like, in shock and awe and always about what the things that go on in men's bathrooms that don't happen in women's bathrooms. Like, I remember from
the biggest scandal in a woman's bathroom
is, like, someone takes a really stinky rancid dump.
Right. Or someone doesn't give you a tampon when you ask for
it. I've spent a lot of time doing cocaine in women's bathrooms. I have not seen any sign of any of that.
Nothing goes on
in men's bathrooms that I know.
Apparently.
There's a whole world. There's a whole
like underworld of people, and there's like apparently
maybe,
like
maybe
a
I'm not going to the right ones.
Of signs and gestures.
Yeah,
where
there,
you know
there's a Macy's toilet in the Macy's in Herald Square, on a certain floor, a certain men's room where you go to cruise.
Yeah, and all the sex that goes in, apparently, like, in the steam room and the men's locker room of New York Sports Club, an old boyfriend of mine, I remember telling me that, and I was like, gee, no wonder they go to the gym all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, the steam room of the New York Sports Club. Okay? Apparently,
yeah, but nothing like that happened. I went to the same one, and nothing happened like that.
There's no lesbo sex in the steam room.
No, you're just sort of quickly putting on your underpants.
I must be going to the wrong men's rooms. That's all I can say.
Yeah, there's occasionally furtive weighing.
Yeah. Or like a furtive, oh my God, look at her ass. But
there's nothing...
I'll tell you what. It's not
like in the opening scene of Carrie.
I've never seen any glory holes. No politician has ever cruised me. You know, no one's ever stuck their hand under the stall trying to cut my balls gently.
Well,
none of this stuff.
Going to the wrong bathroom at Macy's.
I have to side with Mike on this one.
Jack, after the show, you and I are going to go out. We're going to experience some of the finer men's rooms in Bushwick and see what's going on. We're missing the whole demimonde here.
You mean the outside in Bushwick?
Aye. Before we get out of here, you want to read the Mad Libs and see what we came up with?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right, here.
Oh, okay, all right.
There you go.
Oh.
All right, Jack, you got a little music for us? You got a little music for us?
I am classically trained. Yes. This is called My Dream Man. It was contributed by Rosalind. Apparently, okay. My dream man should first of all be very swarthy and cool.
Yes.
He should have a physique like Margaret Thatcher, a profile like John Travolta, and the intelligence of an ocelot. He must be polite and must always remember to pop my insect. Oh no, poop. You spell it wrong. To poop my insect. To tip his car and to take my butt when crossing the street.
Ooh.
He should move languidly, have a pink voice, and should always dress ferociously. I would also like him to be a damp dancer, and when we are alone, he should whisper moist nothings into my butt and hold my flaky pizza. I know a guitar is hard to find. In fact, the only one I can think of is Mike Edison.
Woo! All right. Well, as soon as I stop swooning,
I want you to hold my flaky pants.
Well, I will. I am.
I
got to go pop some insects. Once again, this is the Mike and Judy Show. I'm Mike Edison with Judy McGuire and our absolutely fantastic guest, Rachel Schubert.
We'll see you soon.
That's Jack, the engineer, the Heritage Radio Network, and Roberta's Pizza. See you soon.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. The USDA has introduced the MyPlate icon. I'm sure you've all seen that in the news, replacing the food pyramid that was in use for 19 years. This colorful icon contains portions of fruits, vegetables, grains, protein, and a little side dish of dairy. It can be viewed at www.choosemyplate.gov. It does look like a plate. It's divided into four quadrants. They are surprisingly similarly sized. Vegetables, fruits, proteins, grains. The veg are definitely a little bit larger than the other groups, but protein was really big. I was surprised. I thought we were supposed to eat less meat. Each component of the plate can be clicked on for a drop-down menu that explains portion size, healthy choices, nutritional information, etc. It offers significantly more information to consumers, but it is a little bit more complicated to use. We'll see if people actually look at it. This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Did you know we have a cocktail show? Check out a clip from the speakeasy.
So it's kind of crazy. Over the last, like, I would say like 10 or so years, Irish whiskey has really made a huge comeback. I mean, it's always been big because of the fact that it's mostly blended and easier to drink. And especially like Jameson, obviously Bushmills, they've been doing really hardcore marketing pushes for those two over the past decade.
At least. And there's no peat.
Right.
Which I think makes it a little bit more acceptable to sort of anybody between the ages of 16 and 25 who's learning to drink whiskey. It's like,
yeah, it's like whiskey. I don't want to offend any Irishmen out there, but it's almost like an introductory whiskey, and it's almost a whiskey for people who don't normally drink whiskey.
Yeah,
I think that's fair to say.
Not to say that all Jameson.
If you like what you heard, the Speakeasy airs every Wednesday at 3 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast or check out the archives on our website.